Hey there, everybody. It is Highfalutin Schema Podcast number 50. Happy, happy congratulations to us. We have done it. Woo-hoo. This is number 50. It's been a year in the making, but we did it. Number 50. Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. It is your favorite host, Brian and Mario. Mario, what is going on?
Now that we have a video of us on our pre-podcast taken by our lovely special guest today.
Yes, and I really, really hope you checked it out on Instagram. I want to welcome our special guest for this 50th episode. It is the lovely Andrea. Andrea, how are you, darling?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
We are doing wonderfully. So, yes, this is number 50. We had some other crazy people that were going to be here, but unfortunately, due to them being weak as fuck, they didn't show up. So it is just the three of us. But we're having a great time here. We're having some snack. We're having some drinky poos, and we're doing the podcast.
Yeah.
So if you guys want more information, please check us out at skibumpodcast.com, twitter.com/skibumpodcast, facebook.com/skibumpodcast, and instagram.com/skibumpodcast. As we always do, we're kicking it off with a little bit of
Weekly flavor. Oh, yeah. Don't you hear that sound? You know, it's time for the weekly flavor.
Yes. So we are in celebratory mode.
We are in celebratory.
So we're kicking it up a notch.
So what do you got today, Brian?
I am having, well, this is drink number, I don't even know what number at this point.
Yeah.
But I'm having a little bit of Wyoming whiskey.
Thank you, Jackson Hole.
Just like we had in Jackson Hole.
That's right.
Found it in the Garden State. And, it tastes, honestly, not quite as good as it tasted in Jackson.
Yeah. I agree with you there.
I think the elevation ruins it.
It's very good, but it tasted so much better.
7,000 feet lower. So I think it's ruined almost.
It is. Yeah. It loses that little bit of oomph, you know.
It's still goddamn good, though.
It is really
still
good.
Really, really
this
tasty.
Is hitting the spot today. After a long, hard night of drinking for me with the ski club and a year party, kicking it off right, I closed it out.
Hard day's night.
Little hair of the dog.
Yeah. You're drinking like a dog.
I actually don't want to know what actually happened at the end of the night because there was a whole bunch of shit that like is a little blurry.
So. Just played the fizziff.
Fizziff. It was my evil twin, Oiram. You just spelled your name.
Oiram.
I used to do that in college. All the evil shit that happened, like when you got drunk, that's Oiram. That's
Ramio. Ramio. Wherefore art thou, Ramio?
You just do
fizziff.
That's your evil twin, like, you know, he comes out.
I like that. Okay. And what are you partaking in this evening?
I'm partaking in the same.
Ooh.
And now our special guest is having what we had. She's still on the first round of...
Special gorgeous guest.
I am drinking champagne.
Ooh. Oh.
Perrier Jouet.
Mmm.
It's good really good. Yeah.
You all classy like...
But you know it's not good. It's if you snarf it. It's ooh. Actually really painful.
That was an incident we had earlier, yeah.
We had several incidents. I couldn't pour for shit. It was bad.
Well, you poured some out for the homies.
For
the ski season
and John,
and for the ski season, you know,
and, yeah, for the
pouring some out for fallen homies.
That's right, we poured some out for
the 15-16 ski season,
or like Little Wayne with his phone. Yeah. They have the other one where he's like in the
jacuzzi.
No, he's in the store, the liquor store, and he's like opening a bottle and pouring it on, and then opens another bottle, and pours it on. It's awesome.
Dick.
That's kind of what we did. Put it on the floor
accidentally, but yeah, it had to be done.
So how's the Pierre Jouet?
It's really good. It's some good celebratory stuff.
Hints of...
Especially with two raspberries in it.
Ah, frozen organic raspberries. See,
right.
This is how we do it.
That's right. Go big or go home, right?
We didn't go ghetto. We go half a loop.
Mm-hmm. We're doing it right. So we got champagne. We got delicious whiskey. We got you guys listening. So it's a party.
It's a good time.
Definitely a good time. All right. So let's get into this right now. All right.
What do we start with?
That's our honky-tonk ski music.
Reminds me of Wyoming.
It certainly does. So, first off, all right, you know, it's the end of April, and who is still getting pounded with snow? Frickin' Tahoe.
Tahoe
and Mammoth, the Sierras, are still getting hit with snow.
Tahoe, what, 4 to 8 inches?
Getting 4 to 8 inches, I think.
Damn.
Today and yesterday. So we're recording this on Saturday, so Friday and Saturday, they're getting pounded with snow still. It just won't stop there. It never started here. It's not stopping there.
But now Tahoe's closed because of the national park thing.
I don't know. I think some places are still open in Tahoe.
Oh, maybe like...
Are you jumping in the second story already?
No. I'm just wondering if they're open still. I have no idea.
Parts are.
Are there?
Yeah, Squaw Valley.
Oh.
Alpine Meadows, still open.
I think Heavenly was part of one of the national parks.
They might be, but there's there's still places open out there.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, so we did that. So you know what? We're already cruising the second story, right, which is there are 5 late season resorts where you can still ski in May.
Say what?
So
good skiing too.
Good skiing.
This
yeah.
is like fucking prime season right now.
So we were, you know, kind of already mentioned that Tahoe is getting snow. So Squaw and Alpine Meadows are keeping their lifts turning until May 30th this season, which is freaking amazing. You know, last couple years they've had terrible seasons. But El Nino is just dropping big dumps on top of them and has been the whole year.
Big Chipotle dumps.
Big Chipotle white dumps of snow. So, yeah, Squaw and Alpine are still open. Whistler, they've had 484 inches of snow this year.
Damn.
We talked about it, I think, last week.
Is that a record for them?
I don't know if it's a record. It's just it's how Whistler does it. Last week we were talking about how Wolf Creek down in Colorado had over 400 inches, and it was the only place in Colorado that had that. Whistler's almost at 500, and it, you know, who knows? 60 more inches probably could fall up there if you know, do the El Nino turns correctly for them. So they're good to go. Last year they had kind of a tough year; they were blowing snow on the glacier. This year they are definitely good to go, but they're saying their winter operations just stopped this past week on the 17th of April. But Blackcomb is staying open until May 30th.
Wow.
Mammoth, who just got snow today, they're going to be open. They said at least till Memorial Day, possibly till 4th of July. And our boy Nick, who we ski with out in Jackson, he was saying he's been there on the 4th of July, and it's just the greatest thing ever. Everyone's in, like, girls are in bikinis.
4th of July.
Dudes are wearing just T-shirts and shorts.
A little cookout.
Yeah, and you just have a kick-ass time. I mean, you're skiing in July. I mean, what the hell, what do you want? I mean, every turn is just a blessing. Just Uller, just nuzzling you against his bosom and loving you. That's what it is when you're skiing
bosom,
on the 4th of
grundle,
July.
Whatever. Snow grundle, snow bosom.
Snow bosom.
It all happens. Armpit, you know.
Big,
as long as there's snow, who cares?
Big natural snow bosoms
that's
is really what he's holding you against. Yes. Snowbird, the beautiful snowbird in Utah.
Bird of snow.
You know what's cool? Most places in Utah, they have to close because of, you know, the being in the state park.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, Snowbird gets a pass.
Snowbird!
So they're going to have daily operations till May 8th. And they're going to be open on the weekends until Memorial Day.
Freebird!
Snowbird! And I'm snow as a bird. So Snowbird's still kicking it. And then out in Colorado, A-Basin, baby. Apraho.
Wow.
They have one of the highest elevations. They're 13,000 feet. They're saying, I mean,
they're high in a lot of ways.
They are. I know. And, you know, we talked about it a few weeks ago about, you know, looking at, you know, ski country real estate. That's one thing to be very mindful of, too. If you're really hardcore and you want to ski as much as possible, you know, Telluride, Jackson, those places are absolutely amazing. We love them. Near and dear to our hearts.
Yeah.
But they do fall prey to the state park scheduling. So Jackson had to close April 17th. Telluride, same thing, too. That's something to be very. That's a big thing. If you have a great ski season, they're still closing whenever they're closing. These places that aren't, you know, tied to those rules, again, can be open through June, July, whenever if they have great years.
Yeah.
So something to think about if you're buying ski country real estate.
Hmm.
A-Basin is going to be staying open probably through June, maybe until a little bit later, depending on how it goes. Tons of good food, music, beer, and allegedly weed. If you're in lovely Colorado, hey, it's legal.
Go. There's no season on that. And actually, the big holiday was just this last week.
Happy 420, everybody.
Happy 420.
Yeah. All right. So that's it. Those 5 big places, hit them up. If it's going well, please let us know. Text us. You don't have our number, but you want to text us. But just email us. skibumpodcast@gmail.com, Twitter, Instagram, all those things.
You know how to get us.
You know how to get us. Come on now. Mario, what do we got next?
So next, we got Court Upholds Snowboarding Ban at Utah Ski Resort of
Uh-oh.
Alta. So Alta is sticking to their guns, sticking to their guns, and they're fighting it. Federal Appeals Court upheld the resort's long-standing snowboard ban in a challenge that was brought out by local snowboarders. So they basically said, yeah, we're upholding it. They have the right to do what they want to do with their ski resort, and nobody...
To all you snowboarders who want to snowboard at Alta.
That's right. Yeah.
All you people posting those Alta snowboarding team stickers all over the place.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's like sitting on a whoopee kitchen for them. Because I tell you what, but I guess they've been fighting it. They're still fighting it pretty hard, but there's plenty of places to snowboard. I don't see the... I guess if you live in a local area, you want to snowboard locally, which I can understand them wanting to do.
Every time that they try to do this, you get nothing.
That's right.
You lose. Good day, sir.
The Willy Wonka.
Now, Andrea.
They Willy Wonka'd them.
Yeah, they did.
They Wonka'd them.
We have skied in Alta. Would you say that's your favorite place to ski?
I love Alta. Although, well, okay, of the places we were in Utah, that was my favorite. But I think Jackson Hole is definitely on top now.
Nice.
Definitely.
But Alta was pretty dope.
Oh, yeah.
Alta's incredible.
It was beautiful. It was amazing.
So is there anything different about, like, that you noticed?
Apparently. Everyone's beeping here. What's going on?
Beeping all over the place.
We're blowing up. You know what? Our Grammy-gram's blowing up.
I got to mute everything.
Because I saw our stupid video.
So was that was there any difference in that you noticed because there were no snowboarders, or was it just...
Well, one big thing we noticed at Alta is that old people were there.
Okay.
The day we were there, this was a couple years ago, we were there and we were on the lift and we were talking to this guy. He was in like an over 70 ski club. So everybody was 70 years and older.
Oh, wow.
So they had a massive
group of people. So you think the older people feel more comfortable where there's no snowboarders?
Definitely. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So that was kind of interesting.
It's kind of good. So you could challenge anybody on the hill and chances are you got a higher percentage of whooping ass. You're like, I'll break your hip hole, man.
Pretty much. I mean, hey, you want to go that route? Sure. But yeah, that was really the only thing. I mean, I'll tell you.
How about the terrain? Was it? Because I know the whole thing with snowboarding is they scrape a lot of the terrain off. I guess they don't get that much ice out there anyway, but
it wasn't too bad. I mean, we were there in February too, so it's pretty much prime season.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, again, it was just, it didn't feel, I mean, the terrain didn't feel that different. Again, midweek too. So, but yeah, that was the biggest thing. It seems like older folks are more comfortable being around there.
Yeah.
And Alta, the terrain is just dynamite. I mean, the regular on-piste runs are great. And then there's places you can hike up to and go down. There's bowls. I mean, it's just, it's beautiful. It's
the bowls are my favorite.
The bowls there are sick. The Catherine's area that we hiked up to, that was really cool. And I mean, people just, the skiing out there, I mean, just like Jackson and Telluride, I mean, people can ski.
Wow.
You know, you think you know what you're doing and people just bombing just insane cliffs and drops and, you know, bowls. It's so cool.
Yeah, I wonder why, like, none of the places, not one on the East Coast, has a ban for snowboarding, because on the East Coast it kind of ruins
one.
The mountain.
Mad River Glen.
Oh, Mad River.
Yeah, they're only, I think those are the only two places that are skiing only. Or no, Deer Valley too in
Deer
Utah.
Valley. Wow.
Again, too, we were Deer Valley skiing one day, and that's a whole other level of weirdness. It's just it's like skiing at a country club. I mean, it's cool to check out, but you know the amenities there are ludicrous. I mean, the bathroom in the lodge was nicer than a bathroom I've seen in someone's home.
Damn.
Just crazy.
You know it's like a baller place when there's like a vestibule in the bathroom.
Cadillac,
I mean,
the official...
There's like a powder room, there's a bathroom. It's crazy.
Cadillac was like the official...
Bathroom
official
inside the bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Food was amazing. Like, it's really cool. But yeah, there's only three places that don't allow snowboarders.
Yeah.
Deer Valley, Alta, and Mad River. And Alta by far is the best one.
I wonder if that, like, is a savings to the... to some of these areas too, because then they don't have to build terrain parks. They don't build, you know, maybe they still do build terrain parks. I don't know, but they don't have to build a half pipe. Half pipes are a ton of work to build.
Yeah.
Those.
Well, I mean, and the thing too is, I mean, Alta is connected to Snowbird, so
yeah.
You know,
so
you can't snowboard at Alta, but you still have Snowbird, which is one of the best places in the country.
Yeah.
So you know, you kind of just have to get over it and just go there, and it's great. And then you have Park City, which is really more catered to snowboards. They have a lot of terrain parks. If you look at the Olympics and the X Games, a lot of the guys and girls who are winning, or top 5, top 10, are coming out of Park City.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, be happy with what you have. Let us have this one little exclusive place.
Don't worry, be happy.
Exactly.
You know, now if they had legal weed there too, maybe they'd be happier. I don't know. That could be.
I think Utah is probably the fifth last place
just
to legalize it. Yeah,
you barely can drink alone now, right? Like without.
They
the
just finally fixed that.
They finally got rid of that.
But you still can't get beers over 3.2% on draft.
I like
or something.
The sponsor thing. I think they should do that area because I needed a sponsor last night. I need somebody to be like, "Yo, I need a handler all the time."
That's true.
I like the idea of a handler.
Who is the guy?
Butler's good too.
Who is the guy on Did he? When he had the making of the band? Farnsworth or whatever?
Farnsworth.
Farnsworth. Like a Farnsworth kind of watch out for you.
Farnsworth. That's why I need a I need my own Farnsworth.
Farnsworth.
Right? Wouldn't That's you like
right.
a Farnsworth watch?
I love a Farnsworth.
Who wouldn't?
Right. You'd have to get a Stedman, though.
Stedman.
Gosh, guys, I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
It's getting
sorry.
Weird now.
It's Oprah with a Stedman.
Well, you better get ready.
Oh, yeah.
You
okay.
Stedman.
Go get me
Oprah
these shoes.
Stedman,
go get
yeah.
me.
Oh, boy.
Go do some shopping for me.
All right. So next up, Andrea, this is your story.
This is my story.
Yes.
So there's this really awesome video about 100 years of ski fashion.
Awesome.
And it's so cool. There's a guy and a girl, and they go through every decade from, 1925?
No, it's 1915 through 2015.
Wow. Yeah, and it's just so cool to see the transformations, and it's cute. They've got a little jingle for every decade. And
like the
got,
songs that
yeah,
kind of represent
like
the era.
Songs
yeah,
from the era,
pretty cool.
Exactly. And
it's like the Charleston is one, like
yeah.
back in the day.
Well, the 80s, we're still, it's out for debate. Like, is that.
Well, the
80s
was legit. The 90s song, it sounded
song
like a
from
song
the
from the 80s.
Yeah.
They should have played, like, Pearl Jam or Hootie and the Blowfish, like something that was representative of 1995. Because they did every 10 years. So, yeah, 15,
yeah.
25, 35, 45, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just cool, and it's funky too, because you really do see, you hear the music of the time, you see the fashion of the time, and you see how those two just really
yeah.
are kind of hand in hand. You know, the way that music and art kind of goes into fashion, creating that look and feel
yeah.
for that time. It's amazing how it all works together.
What do you think of the fashion?
Well, it's funny because, you know, just looking at the earlier days, they obviously didn't have the technology. So it was pretty much, it looked like street clothing, you know, just warm from the earlier times.
They even
warm.
Showed the skis, right? And
yeah,
the
wooden skis.
But the
like,
skis
are
the funkiest
amazing.
Thing, too,
yeah.
is how long the skis were back in the day.
And now they're all fat.
Yep,
cool.
exactly. It's like something that you'd put on your wall, you know.
And the graphics.
For decoration.
Like,
yeah.
yeah. I
then,
like the baskets. They show the baskets and like
right.
meat. It's
yeah.
Like, it's like knitted or meat baskets. Like, what the hell?
Now it's all just dog shit made in China.
That's right.
And they just,
much.
I mean, they had straps. Like, they just had these leather straps back then.
See, that's
just
badass.
Like,
if you want to be a baller, that's how you should ski now. Fucking leather straps. That thing's never coming off.
Wear the old school boots.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's like a boot with resin on it. It's like a regular boot.
Yeah, that's
oh,
all it was.
Oh, great, because they're a regular boot.
Yeah.
Be more comfortable, that's for
some
sure.
Fiberglass on it, that's it. Strap it and lash yourself to the to the ski.
Yeah.
It's the way to go.
It's awesome. Definitely check it out on the website.
Yeah, we found it on Powder, and I think Armada put it out. So we'll post the link to it on podcast, and you can check it out. Or I'm sorry, on the podcast page on the website, which you know as skiunpodcast.com. Find it, and there it will be. And last up in ski news, we've talked a bunch about Zermatt in previous podcasts because we have been there, and it's absolutely awesome.
It's dope as hell.
Very dope. So we found a place this past week called the Chalet Zermatt Peak.
I'll be holding residency there in, for...
Oh, 2016-2017.
Whole year.
It's approaching.
Year residence. Six,
nice.
6 month residency.
So this place, what it is, it's a amazing chalet right near the Zermatt Peak. And it sleeps 10 plus 2, 5 bedrooms. But it is going to cost you between 70 and 185,000 Swiss francs per week, which
dope as fuck. Though.
Have we done the conversion? What that is in U.S. dollars?
Swiss franc is like we got killed when we went there. I think it's still like 1.4 to one. It's like horrible.
That was a couple of years ago. So for that price, what you get is you pretty much get this entire chalet, which again, 5 bedrooms, sauna, hot tub, steam room.
Oh, today it's almost even. It's
1.02. So you're pretty much paying $70,000 to $185,000 for a week.
It's a steal.
It
with,
is a
with
steal.
With the rate that it is now, it's a steal.
You can see the Matterhorn from there. You have entrance through a private tunnel. You have concierge. You have housekeeping. You have there's like
you
wine
chef,
cellar,
right?
Daily breakfast and afternoon tea. You get a chef. 24-hour chauffeur service.
You get Jeeves. You get all the people that are going to help you do all the partying and all the shit that you want to do, you get them to help you.
Pretty
it's
much.
Awesome.
Yeah, pretty much. And 3 minutes, they say, from the
it's a bargain.
Lifts? Yeah.
The house is beautiful.
Now, we're going to get into this a little bit more, but we were talking about our delusional plans for the future. And one of my delusional visions for this podcast, this potential empire, is to, you know, we belong to the Hoboken Ski Club. We do these great ski trips with great people. But we want to take it to the next level. We want to do these, like, really high-end, elite, small group trips. You know, like something like this, going here. You got 10 people. You're doing a trip. You're going to a place like this, staying in the best places, getting the best food, the best booze, getting the most amazing skiing experience, just going backcountry with Olympians, you know, going heli skiing with fighter pilots. Like, that's what we want to do. That's what the next level is. That's what the Highfalutin Ski Bum brand is going to come to represent.
That's right.
So this is one of the first things we've seen where it's like, you know what? This is the kind of thing that we want to be the shepherds of. We want to take people who want that sort of experience, who want the next level ski trip experience, and provide that to them. That's us.
Well put.
That's what we want to do.
Damn, I want this house.
I know. It's unbelievable. Lots of glass, lots of wood, lots of amazing views. And
now, there's a cross right outside the house. And I remember there somebody on the trip took a picture of a cross. I don't think it was this. I think it might have been, but it was a really cool picture because the view from it was amazing. So if this is in the same place, like, it's a freaking amazing view, too.
It's all lit up, too, at night, right?
Damn.
I think that's where Jesus was crucified, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's where...
That's where they filmed Jesus, too, I think.
That was the Swiss Jesus was crucified.
Jesus, Swiss Jesus. Hashtag Swiss Jesus.
Boy, I'm going to have to go to confession for that one. I'm going to burn in hell.
Oh, we're all burning in hell.
Yeah.
Just remember that super volcano was coming for all of us.
I'm going to burn in hell for last night. Let's put that way.
Oh, listen to you.
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, that place looks awesome.
Yeah, so that's... So if you're going to check it out...
24-hour electro taxi chauffeur. It's that electro, the ones that sneak up on you when you're in the street.
Yeah.
Those are those fuckers.
Those were scary.
Those scary. You turn around and like 2 feet from you, there's a taxi. Holy shit, I didn't know there was a car there.
So if you haven't been to Zermatt, there are no real cars allowed on the streets there. It's this, you know, amazing
electrical
little alpine village. So they have these electric taxis and horses is pretty much
yeah.
the way you get around. Or walking.
It's awesome.
And those things, they really do sneak up on you.
They're so
little
quiet.
Tiny. Yeah.
It reminds me of The Office where Dwight and Andy were fighting. And Andy pins Dwight up because he doesn't hear him in his face.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's going under a certain amount of speed.
See, it reminded me of Silicon Valley when Gavin Belson in the first season has that, he's like a billionaire, has that little tiny little one-person shitty electric
oh,
car.
Yeah.
Crazy eccentric billionaires.
Yeah, that was a cool place.
Yeah.
Little electric cars like trying to run you down all over. It was great.
Yeah. So it was Zermatt's incredible. We love it.
It was Shun.
Right. Session.
Session.
Alles gut. All right, so that wraps up ski news for the week. And now on to our topic. Do you have
to the topic.
Do you have some topical music there for us?
Oh, yeah. All right, so what's our topic today, Brian?
The topic is 5.0, podcast number 50. We did it. We got here. Rolling in our 5.0.
Damn.
50
is a lot. I mean,
it's a lot. It's a lot of podcasts.
And I'm trying to think in terms of the whole year. We've done it almost every week.
Yeah.
So, when was our first podcast?
The first podcast was right after Telluride last year, so it was like mid March of 2015.
So we passed the official year already.
Oh yeah, we blew past that. But our seasonal depression hit early this year.
Yes.
I kind of had 2 weeks of. Not even mild depression.
My seasonal depression hit right after Jackson.
Yeah.
I was like, this place sucks. I don't want to be here. I don't work.
I know.
I pay bills. It sucks.
They always say people get their seasonal depression in, you know, say November, December because winter is coming. Winter is coming. We get the opposite.
Yeah.
We're ski bums. I got really depressed end of March this year. And we missed a couple weeks and things got a little funky.
I mean, I get jazzed for summer. I'm like, I'm okay. Like, it's not really bad, but I'm kind of like, I'm bummed out because the ski season's like coming to an end. Like,
yeah,
trips are coming to a close. Like, I'm done with that. And it's kind of like...
Plus, too, like, this year, the East Coast kind of had a shitty season. And it's almost like, well, if it had been so awesome, you wouldn't have felt so bad at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this year, I felt like we
drove. You feel like you got gypped.
Yeah. We drove. We spent so many hours in a car going up and skiing and just having just dog shit when we got there.
First scrapes.
First scrapes.
First scrapes.
Hashtag first scrapes. But you know, but the thing with that I kind of got past after that 2 week severe depression was that, you know what? We did all that we could. We played the hand you're dealt. That's what we always say. We always say you play the hand you're dealt.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't the best snow. It wasn't the best year. But you know what? We hit as hard as we possibly could. And I'm taking solace in that. You know, we had as much fun as we could. We podcasted as well as we could. And that's all we could do. And all we can do is just keep doing it and prepare for next year.
Well, the thing
that's
is, we're good at, like you said, taking what we're given, but also, like, just pivoting, spinning on, you know, okay, we can't, ski season's not that great in Vermont, so what are we going to do? So I went up to, like, Tremblant this year just to, you know, to take another trip to at least get a little bit into a colder climate. That was okay, you know. And then we actually started looking at other trips and, like, you know, throwing out other ideas. But it's good to have that because now if next season is bad, we already kind of know how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if next season's really good here, well, we have all the planning that we did this season to kind of fall back on, too, to say, hey, we can actually get a little bit more out of the season, you know.
And one thing we've kind of talked about, too, is even after our trip to Jackson, you know, you go to Jackson Hole for a week, it kicks your ass. I mean, that mountain is just relentless. It's awesome. It's fantastic.
So steep.
But it's relentless. And we talked about it. And week-long trips are great. But if you're going to do one, you can do 1 week-long trip. Okay, cool. But what about doing like 2 or 3 Thursday to Sunday trips?
Yeah.
You know? You kind of know where is the snow going to be good. And you go there. Maybe you do 1 in January, 1 in February, 1 in March, you know, instead of doing the whole week-long trip. Then you hit it hard 3 days, you go there, you fly back.
Yeah.
You stay local for a couple weeks, fly out somewhere else, hit it hard 3 days, come back. That's a pretty cool strategy, too. So that's something that kind of we thought about and being a little more flexible in our schedules, which, you know, if you don't have that crappy local season, you're never going to think about. You always just think, oh, go to Vermont, go to New Hampshire, go to Lake Placid, whatever.
And
makes you think differently,
And building on the experience helps, too. Because, like, going to Jackson, I didn't realize how close the airport was to Jackson.
Oh,
and then
so easy.
Thing. So I'm like, that is good for, like, a, you know, a long weekend. You guys have been to Park City, so you know, like, that's a good place to go. Like, there's other places, like, and as you do that and you talk to other people, you kind of get firsthand information about, yeah, even though they say it's close, it's not that good. Or, yeah, it's really close. Like, they don't promote it, but it's, like, it's easy to get to. So that kind of helps maybe plan some other stuff out too.
Yeah, it's important to have those experiences because then you can really figure out what you like. And also too, you know, going to Jackson and doing the backcountry experience.
Yeah.
That's something we were always used to just, you know, you go to the mountain, you do up and down the lift as many times as you can, hit it, you know, fast and up and fast and up. And it, you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. You can really make it an experience, do the hiking, earn your turns, as they say. That's
still going to kick your ass.
It still kicks your ass. You're going to be wiped out. You're going to have great stories. You're going to have great pictures. Like, that's important too. And that's what we kind of talk about in this podcast. We're not going to talk about the proper binding settings to get maximal efficiency in turns. Like, we're ski bums, man.
Yeah.
We like the whole experience, you know, not just the skiing. We're talking about après, the environment we're at, the location, the people, the art, the everything, the whole package. We're more than just about skiing. So we want to go to places where there's other things you can do.
We learn by doing. So, like, a lot of the knowledge we have is from firsthand just doing stuff.
And also just chatting with people. I mean, we talk to so many different people in so many different realms. You know, bartenders, waitresses, locals, you know, people in the ski shops. You talk to those people. I mean, you really do get more of an experience than just, you know, just being
good
on a mountain.
Information, yeah. That's the other thing, too.
Tons of great information.
Like, when we're in the resort, like, we chat with everybody in town. And, like, you know, the locals give you a better, like, you could look at TripAdvisor or on the snow, and they give you good advice, like, but it's generic. You start talking to locals, and, like, you get a little bit of flavor on the advice they give you. Like, you know, oh, that's a pretty good place to eat, but, like, I wouldn't go. You know, like Tommy Moe was telling us,
We're name dropping. It's our 50th anniversary, baby.
Like,
we can name drop.
Like, don't go to that Thai place. Go to this Thai place because it's a little bit stranger, but it's great.
And the thing,
too, it was awesome.
TripAdvisor, Yelp, on the snow, they have data from how many years back. I mean, ski towns, things evolve and change very rapidly.
Yeah.
So when you're talking to locals, talking to people who were there, they're going to give you up-to-date information.
Especially
that place was great a year ago.
Been there a while, you know, like, Tommy Moe's been there since he was in the Olympics, you know, so he knows he knows all the development of everything. Like, lifties will tell you, like, based on, you know, last year or two, because they're usually in town, like, that season or 2 seasons, 3 seasons, you know. But
yeah.
it's good to get that.
Things change quick, so these people, they're living there. They're living it every single day, so they're going to give you...
Living the dream.
Living the dream.
Living the dream.
Yeah.
I think we should go back and try his mono ski.
Yeah,
oh,
Tommy,
yes.
You promised us if we want to try your mono ski, it's in your garage.
Mono Skiapalooza. Tommy said he did the mono ski. I freaking love that.
Mystery
love
ski,
that.
Eh, guys? Mystery ski.
Aww.
Apocalypse Snow, mono ski, baby.
Apocalypse Snow.
Mono ski. That was the other thing we did this year. Apocalypse Snow, 1, 2, and 3.
Apocalypse Snow. Yeah, we had a Apocalypse Snow film festival, if
yeah.
you will, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
A lot of things that we did with this podcast, you know, that really opened. I mean, I feel like I've learned so much more about skiing, the ski industry, just doing this podcast. Because, you know, we're doing the research, we're getting these stories for you guys. We're, you know, it's a labor of love, but it's also, it's very eye-opening too, the things
yeah.
you learn about and you see. And it's made the experience more fun, I feel like, for me too. You know, because you do have this kind of inside information almost, and
yeah.
you can talk, and it's great fodder too. You know, if you're at a you know happy hour or apres or whatever, you're like, oh yeah, we do this little podcast here, and bam, hit him with a card, and
yeah.
let him see what's up. Because
it's nice to talk to people. They start listening, like, when are you guys going to podcast? Like, we're 2 days late. It's like, oh shit, we got to get that out there. But it's great because they're like, oh yeah, we heard your last few ones, and you did this, and like they start asking you questions about what we talked about. I'm like. Oh, that's pretty cool. Like,
it is cool, yeah, because people, you realize that people are listening, you know?
Yeah.
So it makes you kind of want to do a better job.
And it is entertaining for them. That's what you get out of. Like, they're not grilling you for, like, oh, you were wrong about this or whatever. Like, they're just like, hey, that was pretty cool. And, you know, like, they give you feedback on, like, what your last few shows were. And it's kind of like, oh, wow, you're listening,
yeah.
And you're getting something out of it, so it's at least enjoyable and entertaining, you know.
And our plan too is we want to make it be enjoyable for people who are, you know, not even skiers or boarders. We want people to just kind of enjoy listening to us because, you know, we talk about ski stuff, but we don't get into the nitty gritty, super ski nerd racing details.
Yeah.
You know, we're not nearly, you know, good enough to get to that level with stuff.
Right.
Again, we're talking about the whole ski experience,
a huge appreciation, but it's not like. That's been our career or our life. I mean, there's professionals that do that. That's
yeah.
not us, you know, but it's kind of cool to, you know, like, we just love the whole
We know our role.
Yeah.
We want to combine all the things that we love about skiing and kind of put that out there for everybody so that they can fall in love with the sport kind of the way we did.
So, Andrew, what do you think about our podcast? I mean,
oh.
you listen to it. You talk to
I
friends.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I've been telling my coworkers about it. They're listening, and I mean...
You have somebody that follows us religiously.
The
right?
audience is listening.
Yeah. You have a friend that you work with that watches, that listens to us, like, the minute we are on. Because he follows us, like, he's reached out to us before, too.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, that's the person that works with Andrea.
Oh. Oh, okay. Yeah. Actually, yeah, that's right.
So it's kind of
cool
right.
to, like,
get I've
that. I've been hearing so many cars. No, I know. It's awesome.
So,
it is really awesome.
So we want to thank everybody who's listening and reaching out to us, who's sending us stories. Like, you guys are awesome. We want to thank you so much because without you guys, you know, we wouldn't be doing this. You know, I mean, we talked about it for probably over a year before we started doing it that we should do something like this. And then after Telluride last year, we're like, we just have to do it. You
yeah.
know, we started off with just one computer, just talking, trying to figure out where the microphone was, and it sounded like dog shit. And then we got one microphone and shared it between the three of us. Rest in peace, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're still alive, but you're dead to us because you're not on the podcast
oh,
anymore.
Oh, that's right.
Guys, I got a Wave Rider. I can't be on the podcast anymore. Steve.
I'm going to call him Summer Steve from now on.
Summer Steve. That's really what
he did
he
go boarding out in. He did. So the one thing that was cool about this year is remember they ran that Southwest ran that deal. It was like $79 round trip to Denver. He took advantage of that. I emailed him, and he bought the ticket that day because
oh,
it was only
really?
For like a 3-day sale. He bought the ticket. He took his daughter out on that ticket, and they went out. They did Breckenridge and I think Copper.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, that's freaking awesome. So he took advantage. He's like, it was a great deal, you know. Just did that. Got cheap hotel, you know, regular hotel.
That's the way to do it. You know, being able to pivot and, yeah, opportunity presents itself.
Yes.
You have to take it.
Plus, we know somebody now that's done that, so it's like, all right, so it's a legit deal. You know, it gets cool to do that stuff. You know?
That's great. Yeah, but we started out just kind of talking about this podcast, and now we're doing it. And, again, thank you, everyone, for listening, and please keep subscribing on iTunes and subscribing and listening and doing what you got to do. And thank you. Just thank you, because it's awesome having people who are listening to something that we're passionate about doing, because it's fun, and we're trying to, you know, kind of share the excitement and love of skiing and the ski lifestyle and mountains and
So what I love
with everybody else. You know, it's just, it's fun to do, and we want it, other people to enjoy it as much as we do.
So what I love about it is, not just in the 50 episodes, I think back, like, we had some really fun stuff that happened, like a lot of work that we put in and all, but the fun part for me has been every week coming up with a show, which is a little intimidating at first because it's like, shit, what are we going to talk about? Like, do we have to have a script? Like, we started scripting. Like, so we worked out a whole, in those 50 episodes, we started out, like, and we've done probably, like, I got to say, like, 5 to 10 different methods of running a show.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've tried to watch or do a little bit of research on, like, shows that other people do and, like, you know, how it's put together and then the production process. So we've learned so much about that, which has helped me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, the contacts we've made. I mean, running a show, we start reaching out to people actively. And as a skier or a boarder, you normally don't do that. You just, like, talk to friends. Maybe you're in a ski club, you network there, and you go on some trips. But, like, when do you actually reach out to Warren Miller and start talking to them and have a conversation about their movie that's coming out?
Yeah.
Or the ski, you know, the ski shop, the local ski shop. When do you go in, get a tour, talk to the owner about the whole process? Like, we know what goes on in the ski shop now.
Yeah.
Like, usually you go to a ski shop, you don't know, like, you just know the final product. You don't know what goes into running that.
You just see the nice, polished, clean front side of it. You don't see the dirty, nitty-gritty, you know, where all the work gets done.
And then you realize, like, oh, they're contacts. You start talking to them. You start talking to ski reps, and you find out about their jobs. So that's probably been the most interesting part of it is reaching out to people that I wouldn't normally talk to and finding out what they do, like, in the industry. So it's, like, it's pretty cool to see all that, you know.
Yeah, and it's cool seeing people who are passionate about what they're doing. Because we're passionate about what we do and, you know, trying to find synergies and places where we can help them and promote them. And they're trying to help us, too. So it's a great, you know,
people have
mix.
It's holy shirts and pants.
Holy shirts and pants. And you were mentioning, too, about getting the podcast, you know, the episodes ready. Yeah, you know, first we kind of, we were winging it. We didn't have our structure like we have now with the ski news and the topic.
And we're tweaking it still. But
yeah, we're still working. We're still tweaking, trying to find that perfect formula. But you know, I feel like at this point we do have a pretty cool formula and we have interesting things to talk about. We've cleaned up our ums and likes to a degree. We're not perfect yet, we know, but we're getting better every time.
And we're more comfortable.
We're definitely more comfortable, yeah. And having a third person here is fun.
I like the third. See, Brian and I always talked about this, and I was always big on having a third.
Yeah.
Originally we had a third.
Threes. Yeah.
But, you know, something happened. So, you know, we try to get thirds in when we can. And when we have our real studio set up in our ski house, then it's going to be a whole different world.
Yeah.
It's going to change it up.
See, I like Andrew. She's a nice, mellow, kind of just chill. It's
female.
Like, chill. I like that.
Female,
that's
yes.
That's what you
need
do.
A little estrogen with the you know.
Estrogeezy to go with the whiskey.
That's right.
Nice
cheers
little blend
that.
Here.
Cheers
to that. Cheers to 50. We did it. We're getting there. So if you think 50's been a party, wait till we get to 100.
That's going to be a big party. We actually might, I'm thinking we probably have to rent some place out for that.
What about the Chalet Zermatt?
I think Chalet, we could do it on location, Chalet
Zermatt. Oh, snizzle McSnap.
With a few of our listeners that have rated us on iTunes.
Yes, so if you want to make it out to possibly our 100th and maybe sort of, kind of, maybe Chalet
Zermatt. We're thinking
Zermatt.
That might be part of the criteria, right?
StephenPodcast.com, go there, subscribe. Rate us on iTunes. Love us. And
if you already listen, you should rate us, right? Why not?
I mean, seriously. And 5 stars. Come on. This is a 5-star effort here. You know it, and we know it.
Hey, if it sucks, put it one. I don't care. I just want to get feedback.
Just,
like,
yeah.
I want to know where we're falling so that we can make better.
That's right. All right, everybody. So please check us out. SkiBumPodcast.com, Facebook.com/SkiBumPodcast, Twitter.com/SkiBumPodcast, Instagram.com/SkiBumPodcast. Let's finish this up strong.
Oh yeah.
Ow!
This is time for the round the horn.
Around the horn. So
round the horn.
Yeah, so starting off with a very sad story. Andrea.
Prince.
Aww.
So sad.
Rest in peace, Prince.
One of the very few talented musical artists that this world is known.
He was absolutely incredible. And yesterday when I went to work, I made sure I wore my purple shirt and purple sneakers, and I ran into a friend of mine at work who's, you know, of a similar age as me, and he had on a purple shirt and purple shoes as well,
mm-hmm.
And we just looked at each other and just go, Prince. Like we were both like we both had the exact same kind of outfit on.
Are you sure it was for Prince or was he like, you know, honoring Grimace?
How dare you? How dare you?
Was
no.
he a big dude?
No, it was for Prince. Yeah, I mean, he was just an amazing artist, a musician, a talent that, you know,
he was.
He was just amazing, you know, and he's had still a long career, really. I mean, it spanned, what, 30 years?
Yeah.
Well, not only that, he had a big effect on other people. Did a lot of collaboration, songwriting. I tell you, he was a talent, man.
Nothing Compares to You for Sinead O'Connor. He wrote that song. You know, obviously, Purple Rain, you know. All the stuff, and then controversy too with the whole change of the symbol and Warner Brothers and that whole drama. Just an amazing artist and a huge loss. And you know, very underrated guitarist too.
Yes.
We were watching the I think it was the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction.
Yeah,
the George Harrison. You know,
wailing on
Tom
that guitar,
Petty.
Man.
Oh, just the way he played. I mean, you it's so easy to forget what an amazing guitarist he was, and he just shredded. He was incredible.
Great dancer.
And one thing we all know. Prince can ball, man.
He can ball, that's right.
Prince can ball.
We didn't learn anything from the Chappelle show. We know if Prince can ball.
Game blouses. Yeah, so rest in peace, Prince. Thank you so much for everything that you provided us and shared with us and gave us fuel for our creativity.
Yeah.
So,
that was your inspiration for Purple, right?
Hey, man, I'm a big fan of the Purple.
It's your
and
favorite color.
It is my favorite color, no doubt about it.
You sure it's not from Grimace?
It's definitely not from Grimace. But,
there was one person who was a performer, born to be a performer, it was him.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you start listening to his music because they've been playing a lot now.
Yeah.
And you start listening to songs like, holy shit, I haven't heard that song in a while, and
yeah.
I love it. But it's just, you just haven't heard it in a while, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
It's cool stuff.
Diamonds
yeah.
and Pearls, that's
yeah.
my favorite.
Yeah.
Let's Go Crazy.
Let's Go Crazy, great one.
Purple Rain.
Purple Rain, all the stuff from the 80s was just out of this world, yeah.
Scissor.
And then, too, like, we were watching the video from the Music Awards in 91 when he wore the yellow suit with the butt out.
But
I remember what a big, I mean,
assless chaps.
Remember back then, like, in Living Color did a thing about that? Like, everybody did a thing about
yep.
that because that was, I mean, that was one of the first crazy on TV, you know, controversial
yeah, like,
things
what
that
the
happened.
Hell? Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big deal back then.
SNL is doing a special tribute to him this week.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I saw the ad for it. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Because he was on SNL for a lot.
Oh,
over
sure,
the years,
yeah.
So, he had a lot of cool performances. And I'm sure he did an assless performance on there somewhere.
Yeah, right.
So, to do an assless performance, do you have to, like, clean up the ass before? Like, do you have to, like, make sure it's, like, shaved or something? Like, you know, what do you do?
I think you have to wax.
Wax your ass?
No, but you know what? Prince rocked the
wax
hair.
That ass.
He had the hairy chest and everything. He didn't give a
Did
fuck.
Did he wax that ass?
No.
Nope.
He had even oiled it.
No, he let it all hang out.
Let it all hang out.
And that was the beauty of Prince. He did what the fuck he wanted to.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that made him such a fantastic artist. He was so genuine. He would not sell out to any sort of company or cause or whatever. He did his own thing.
You hear his music and all the effect he's had on music. You almost wonder, like, I think he was a huge, like, musical presence, but it's almost like he could have been almost the top presence, like, with the right marketing or something. I don't know, right?
But I don't think he wanted to.
Yeah,
he was just like...
He hid a little bit.
He was like a weird, horny, quiet little weirdo. And, you know, when he did, you know, an album or a movie, he put his whole existence into that.
Yeah.
You know? And it made it so genuine. That you couldn't not be impacted by it, which was so cool about it. Because I mean, there's so much like just pop nonsense where you're like, yeah, whatever. It's just fluff.
But
in
his
the
stuff
air.
Is so good. You wonder like you look at like Michael Jackson and you look at Prince of Michael Jackson, great artist, everybody you know appreciate him. But Michael Jackson is such a huge hit
mm-hmm.
versus Prince. I think Prince maybe could have been up there with you know.
But he didn't want to be.
He didn't want to be.
He wanted to do his own thing.
Yeah.
Which I think is why. When you say the word Prince to somebody, they feel something. Either love, hatred, confusion, weirdness. Like, they're going to feel something because
everybody
it was.
Knows him.
Yeah, because it was so real and genuine
yeah.
that it made you either love him, hate him, but you felt something either way,
yeah.
which was, I mean, what more could you ask for as an artist? You know, to make people feel something. So,
raspberry, baby.
Yeah.
That was the raspberries in your drink before.
I know.
That was a tribute, yeah.
That was a tribute.
Did. Yeah.
Yeah. So peace, rest in Prince. Thank you again for everything you gave us. Rest in Prince. Yeah.
Good night, sweet Prince. I heard
good
that.
Night,
that was the post
Prince.
Or something.
Yeah.
All right, what else you got, Brad?
All right, next up, onto a much, much, much happier topic. What would a world with legal weed look like? This article was from Vice, one of our favorite.
That's a good concept. It's like Willy Wonka with a weed.
Well, so they, the United Nations is had a special session to discuss international drug control priorities and policies. And coincidentally, it hit on 420, which we talked about a little bit earlier. And they're trying to figure out, like, how are they, like, how do you deal with marijuana? And, you know, we've talked about it a bunch of times. And, I mean, to me, the more you think about it, this is a naturally occurring plant. You know, it was put here on the planet. It's been here for millions of years, at least thousands. I don't know. I'm not a botanist like Mark Watney. But it's been here. It's natural. It was put here for a reason. And to somehow call it a drug, it, to me, just seems like complete lunacy. And this this article on Vice, and there's kind of a tie-in here on Vice, because if you guys have cable television, you're still one of those people who are connected, corded up, as we will.
Cut the cord, man. Cut the cord.
There is a new channel called Viceland.
Yes.
And one of the shows they have is called Weedikit. And Krishna, what's his last name? Krishna Andavalu. He's the host of that show. Andrew and I were actually watching an episode this morning where they were talking about how the potential for legalized weed, especially in America, is creating this new opportunity for women. Because if you look at almost every industry, men are the dominant, you know, a dominant species, dominant gender. It's like 5% of Fortune 500 CEOs are women. So this is weed, the potential for legalizing weed is creating opportunity for a lot of women to, you know, be these, this driving force as cultivators, as marketers, as store owners.
Yeah,
and they were saying that a lot of these women they're talking to, like, this is like the one chance that women have to dominate this industry.
They could dominate, like, think of how weed potentially could be huge, right? They could dominate a lot more than just the weed industry.
It's absolutely going to be huge.
Philip Morris of weed, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly. And this article... This article kind of just talks about, you know, Uruguay, they legalized, you know, marijuana and I think all drugs actually recently. Hmm. And Portugal has decriminalized and, you know, crime has gone down. You know, abuse of the drugs has gone down as well because it isn't this taboo thing. It's just, you know, a thing you can do.
Well, say we talked about the whole gateway idea. It's a gateway drug because you're going to a sleazy drug dealer to get weed.
Yeah.
Where all you really want is weed. Now you're not going to a drug dealer to get just weed. You know?
Yeah. And so it's a pretty interesting topic. And, you know, we are moving closer to legalization. And I think we're all kind of on the same boat here. At least people who are, you know, have a realistic opinion and outlook on things that this is going to happen very soon. Granted, whoever gets voted president will probably indicate if it's going to be a quicker or slower pace to this legalization. And it's a cool article, and one of the things that was kind of related to it that I don't think we really talked about in a previous podcast yet, but this article came out on CNN a few weeks ago where one of Richard Nixon's top, you know, top cabinet members, domestic policy chief John Ehrlichman, told this to Harper's Magazine that the whole war on drugs that they and the laws they passed back in the 70s was specifically done because of the political pressure they were getting from blacks and from hippies in the late 60s.
Wow.
So they were saying they couldn't. So here's the direct quote from Ehrlichman. You understand what I'm saying? We knew we couldn't make it illegal to be either against the war or black, but by getting the public to associate the hippies with marijuana and blacks with heroin, and then by criminalizing both heavily, we could disrupt both communities.
Wow.
We could arrest their leaders, raid their homes, break up their meetings, and vilify them night after night on the evening news. Did we know we were lying about the drugs? Of course we did.
Wow.
This is from a top politician in the Nixon administration.
And they're saying it because they know they can't get arrested or something now, right?
Do you know how fucked that is?
That's totally fucked.
I mean, you hear something like that, why would you ever trust any politician ever when you hear that?
Well, it's admitted coercion that went on during this time to profile and target specific people.
Completely.
It's messed up. Yeah.
Yeah. Statute of limitations.
Yeah.
Sorry. Can't touch me now. Haha. Fuck you.
And now they're making money saying, I'll sell my story on CNN or whatever.
It's filthy. It's disgusting.
Crazy.
It's gross.
What was that Vice channel? You said it's Weedekit?
Weedekit is the TV show. It's on Viceland, the new TV channel that. Yeah, it's really cool. They put on a lot of cool stories. And it's funny, the commercial for the show, it shows that guy, Krishna, talking to his mother. He's like, hey, mom, how's it going? He's like, hey, I got a new show on Vice. It's about weed. She's like, oh, no, don't be smoking it on TV.
That's awesome.
It's great. He's like, yeah, whatever, mom. Just like blazing away.
Puff, puff, pass, mom.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
puff, pass.
I mean, we've talked about, you know, Vice stories for, you know, plenty of times on the podcast. And it's they're doing a lot of really progressive, cool, interesting stories. And speaking of which, our next story is also from Vice. Andrea, do you want to take it?
It's just hysterical. So I guess a woman was being sent unsolicited dick pics.
Who hasn't, right? Who hasn't been there?
Who hasn't? Hey, I'm on every single dating site out there. Like, I don't send dick pics, but like, if I was like, I changed my profile like two clicks, I'm getting dick pics too.
Eating pussy, sucking dick, and kicking ass.
So she turned it into an art show, basically. She's got pictures of dick pics on her wall in her living room.
Sad yeah, it's
dicks,
cool.
Happy dicks.
Like, it's cool. Yeah, the art exhibit is set up like her living room. So she has like the couch and then
that's
like
awesome.
You know, all the dick pics framed.
She blurs out the guys' faces, but it's hysterical.
I put these dick pics on my wall.
These dick pics bring all the pics to the wall.
Yeah,
unfriend you, dick.
Yeah, she says, to be clear, you know, she's not a dick hating or man hating person. She loves a good dick.
But she
doesn't love harassment.
Yeah,
right.
Which is true.
So that's the other thing. So she turned it into art, and I just think that's awesome.
I like one of the frame pieces she has is, a boy sends you an unsolicited dick pic. Send back a picture of a better looking dick, a more photogenic dick with a future.
Dick with a future. Like, you start to play with fire at that point, because I think like some guys are just, I don't know, maybe it's just because I don't really know men, but at that point it's like, are guys so sensitive about that they would take it like really personally and get offended? And
if what?
If you sent back a picture of a better looking dick.
Probably.
Would
this guy hunt her down?
I would want to see the reaction. Like, what the fuck? She sent me a dick pic. Maybe she's a dude. Like, I don't know what they would think, right?
Like, does she actually say this is a better looking dick than yours?
You should try using this dick.
Just say LOL to the pic that got sent. And then sent like a big, massive, veiny, throbbing beast.
How about this one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like I was telling, like, if I don't send pictures of my privates, but like if I did, I'd have a dick double. So I just get a better looking dick and send that out.
Sure, you don't, Mario. Sure.
A dickleganger.
Yeah. A dickleganger.
Hashtag dickleganger.
Why would you send a picture of like a lesser dick when you could send out a picture of a better dick?
A flaccid, silly pic. Who wants to see that?
You don't want to see a sad, mopey dick. You want a
mopey
happy
dick.
A happy dick.
Here's
a happy, throbbing dick.
So one of the favorite things in this question answer with her, she talks about, you know, the question was, there are some interesting dicks on display here. Do you think these men actually think their dicks' pics look good? Like, what's going on in this one? And she replies, that's his thumb, I think, strangling his dick. My friend said that one looked like a ball of a dough with a toupee on it. So then she points to another picture of a middle-aged man whose head has been partially blocked by an iPad. This one was DM'd to me on Instagram, which meant I could click on his profile and see his whole life.
Wow.
His wife and his children. His face is in the actual picture, but I had to remove it for the art display.
Damn.
Like, we guys, like, I'm saying we as in all dudes, we're retarded. And the fact that we have this kind of technology, I mean, could you imagine you...
It's like cavemen with, like, technology.
Could you imagine,
with an iPhone.
Could you imagine
like,
16-year-old fuck. You with an iPhone?
Oh my god, the shit I would do.
Oh my god, yeah.
Just be horrible.
The pictures of things you would take and send.
And send and all that, yeah. Oh,
like,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's a terrifying thought. And now all these kids, that's what they have.
It's
so.
A world of free-flowing electronic dick pics.
Back in my day, we had to search for pornography in the woods.
There was no internet.
There was no
we
internet.
We were going through puberty.
Yeah.
Think about it, you're getting on the cloud. The entire cloud is full of dicks. Just all pictures of dicks.
Just
floating
swirling
out there,
dicks.
All on the cloud. Just that you're bumping into, you're sending like a nice text message or like a nice photo to like somebody, and there's a dick pic right next to it.
The cloud
just
is
in the
full
cloud.
Of dicks. The cloud is full of dicks.
I see dicks.
The cloud is full of dicks. I see dick dicks. Dicks be everywhere, bro.
Dicks be all over the place.
Yeah.
Right, speaking of dicks.
Speaking of dicks.
Warner Brothers is doing an Abu Dhabi theme park to feature Batman and Superman rides. So they're going to build a $1 billion theme park in the Emirate.
How much?
$1 billion.
$1 billion.
In the Emirate with a 2018 opening plan. So they're basically throwing a shit ton of money into this theme park in Abu Dhabi, which I don't know if there's a lot of visitors. They're saying that Abu Dhabi will help the island take its annual visitor tally from 25 million in 2015 to 30 million in 2018. I didn't realize Abu Dhabi got that many visitors. That's a ton.
That's crazy, yeah.
It's crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I know they build all sorts of crazy stuff, and there's an island out there, and supposedly this was on the table for like, I don't know, a bunch of years, like 10, 15 years. This has been tried like a few times, and now they're finally going to do it. But that's a huge price tag.
That's crazy, yeah. But you know, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, like that whole area, the amount of money they have just to spend on crap is insane. They have that ridiculous indoor ski slope. The police have Lamborghinis and Bugattis as their cars. I mean, that whole area, Bugatti, that area has so much money. They don't know what to do with it. So, you know, why not spend $1 billion on a theme park?
If they have cool rides, that'd be a good trip out there.
Yeah, right?
You know?
Yeah. All right, last story. Mario, we got to give you this one. This is yours because
I love Mars.
You want to move.
I want to move.
You're ready
to
upgrade.
I want to move to Mars.
This planet is just not good enough for you.
I don't give a shit if I don't have any neighbors. I want to go to Mars. They have ice under the Earth, under the crust of that.
Earth!
Under the crust of that, you know, they could terraform that. And you know what you could do? You'd be skiing the fuck on Mars. That's
true.
What I want to have.
It's true.
So anyway, this is a TED Talk, actually really good, informative TED Talk. And this guy, Stephen Petranek, breaks down like how we would go to Mars within the next 20 years. One of the coolest parts of this whole video is the center of it all is Elon Musk, because he owns SpaceX, and he's done so much with like the electric car with Tesla that they're like, you know, he's beat all of his estimates to this point. Like, he put an estimate of, I think they said 2028 or 2025. And they're like, why wouldn't he beat that estimate too? Mm-hmm. So we've always speculated too, like, oh, they're coming out with a big announcement. The announcement's going to be they already have people on Mars. You know what I mean? Like, but I think they're planning. I mean, the whole Mars project is out there. Mars One.
Yeah. Yeah, Petranek is saying that he thinks that humans will live on Mars by 2027.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, and he thinks, though, it's going to take 300 years to terraform Mars into a, you know, a place that's truly livable for a large number of people.
Yeah, and the idea behind terraforming is, so the basic makeup of Mars is very similar to Earth. The only problem is it's colder and there's no atmosphere. So if you terraform it, you basically heat up the water that's in the crust, and that will actually cause water to flow and cause an atmosphere to like develop, which is pretty interesting. All you got to do is heat it up.
Yeah.
So I was joking around, but I'm kind of serious. Like, we're really good at global warming. All we got to do is go to Mars and keep doing that same shit. Like, we're good at that already.
We could put, you know, get like all of our Camaros and Mustangs and like send them over there.
That's right. Gas is, you know, plopping it in there and just freaking burning out garbage. Like, you know, all the bad shit that we stopped doing, like do that over there.
Jin Yang. Don't burn garbage.
That's right.
What about trash? God damn it, Jin Yang.
It's starting tomorrow, so we'll come back.
That's right. Woo.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool TED Talk. I love TED.
Global warm the shit out of that place.
We could global warm this. That's right. Global warm the fuck out of that. We're the best at it.
That's
We're
true.
The best planet to do that.
We are the kings.
You move us over to Mars, we're going to terraform that by global warming the fuck out of that place.
Yeah, I wonder what kind of ski opportunities there would be in Mars. Because they don't
There was a story
water.
I saw about, well, there's ice in the, right? So they're saying you can almost probably ski on, like, the mountains if you, because it's, like, icy. Like, it's right under the surface.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Or what if you
develop You don't even have to blow snow. Like, the ice is in the earth.
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 It'd be on the Mars.
On the Murph.
On the Murph.
On the Murph.
On the Earth. The Murph. Because it's the Mars Earth.
That's right. The Murph.
Because, yeah, I mean, maybe there's a whole market available for a special kind of wax for your skis that allows you to just ski on the surface of the Martian mountains.
Martian Chalet Mars Peak.
We could. What about like the
MARS?
Matter Mars. Like the Matterhorn of Mars.
Matterhorn.
It's going to be there. It's got to be out there.
The Mallow Mars.
The key is now to buy real estate on Mars. By the dopest mountains.
That's right.
So you can have the Zermatt of Mars when it's ready.
Have they put anything up for sale yet? You could technically buy the whole planet, yes, really.
Buy like the half of the planet. Be like, this is it.
It's like Monopoly. It's like some sort of weird like 3D Monopoly where there's some sort of like extra like boardwalk. Like you're off the boardwalk and you're in like Brigantine or something. Like, what the hell's going on here? We're not in Atlantic City anymore.
You own it. You want to land a rover? You got to pay me to be on my land. That's trespassing.
Are there any drones that can get to Mars right now?
If you own land there, you should be able to create one and send it.
Because if we can come up with a drone now that goes to Mars, we can plant our flag at the Zermatt Matterhorn of Mars.
Plant a lot of flags all over. Shit. Like, we own it all. We claim it.
And you wonder what's
in the name of the Ski Bum Podcasters, we claim this mountain.
One small step for ski bums.
That's right.
One giant step for ski bum
with
life.
The stipulation, half of the mountain is free to skiers and boarders at all times in the history of Mars.
Yes.
And the other half is casino and all the other fun shit we want to build.
This is going to be a whole new market in probably ski attire as well, too, because you're going to need special breathing apparatus for skiing on Mars.
Miles and miles, acres of Mars-specific weed growing in free pastures. That's what I'm saying.
What if instead of snow, you ski on Martian weed? So as you're riding, as you're
Purple
skiing,
Kush.
Martian Kush.
Martian Kush.
You're skiing on the Martian Kush. It's just coming up and spraying you with this beautiful bounty of love from Mars.
Ski all day, smoke the bejesus out of it at night.
Mother Mars is giving you a blessing with every turn you make.
Boom.
Oh, man.
You're talking, taking ski fashion to another level? That's when you see all the silver outfits come out. I've been promised in every show that I've ever seen, for the future, it's got to be silver outfits, like tinfoil outfits. I want to see that.
Yeah. I think Mother Mars is ready for us.
Murph. I like the Murph.
Murph. Mother Mars is ready.
Mother Mars.
Yes. So, I mean, how do you end on anything else but that?
It's going to happen.
I think it's going to wrap up the podcast for the week.
How
the number,
you follow that?
For the Big 5-0.
The Big 5-0.
So, Andrew, I want to thank you for being our special guest.
Thank you, Andrew.
The pleasure's all mine.
You've been a muse and inspiration through all 50 episodes. So, thank you.
Put
so
up
it's
with
a
this
pleasure.
Guy. That's what I'm saying.
Every
yeah,
day.
Every damn day.
Every damn day.
You're a very tolerant, beautiful woman. So, thank you. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We appreciate you guys' support and love. So, skibumpodcast.com, twitter.com/skibumpodcast, instagram.com/skibumpodcast, twitter.com/skibumpodcast. Thank you. Subscribe on iTunes. Love us. And we will talk to you for number 51 next week.
Stay high, stay falutin'.
Bye-bye.